Areena.
Hello and welcome back to our All Points North on video series. This week, my guests here in the studio are Megha Goswami and Hello. Peter Den Hetten. Now, I'll come back to our guests in just a second, but first let me explain to our viewers and to our listeners exactly what we're going to be talking about here today. So the subject of jobs, or more specifically, getting a job in Finland, is never far from people's minds, especially for those who move here from abroad. And that's because it can be a notoriously difficult thing to do, with challenges such as the language barrier, such as the lack of a local network, and even apparent name-based discrimination by Finnish employers. So all of these hurdles contribute to making it a very difficult thing to do. And that's the case even when things are good. And it has to be said that things haven't been particularly good in Finland in this area in recent years, because Finland now has the worst unemployment rate in the EU. And that makes the task of finding a job all the more difficult, especially again for those who move from abroad. So that's the topic we're going to be talking about here today. Looking forward to hearing about our guests' own experiences and their own thoughts on this matter. And hopefully we can even delve into some of the potential solutions to this problem. So no pressure. Okay, but at this point in the podcast, I'd usually read out a few lines to introduce our guests while they have to sit there awkwardly and nod along. But we're not going to do that. I think it's better that you introduce yourselves in your own words. So Megha, if we start with you.
All right. Hello. My name is Megha Goswami and I moved to Finland to study 7 years ago, though it does not feel very long, but time has a way of flying when you're indeed having a good time. And Finland has been through good times, worse times, better times, a little bit of
everything. It's been an interesting 7 years, I'm sure.
It has. Okay. But I initially came here to study, and then, as I like to say, Finland chose me because I ended up finding a job, I met my partner, and before I knew it, Finland became home. And some of it was intentional and some of it was unintentional, but here we are today, so
And you're very welcome here today. And Peter, can you give us a brief summary of your background?
I'm Peter Den Hete. Moved here a bit over 2 years ago for my partner's work. A little bit what you say, it kind of chose us, I guess. Okay. So we ended up here a little bit by accident. It was all sort of, how life goes. That's it.
Okay. And in terms of your own working situation at the moment, what can you explain what you both do?
So I work in the health tech industry. I have a degree in molecular biotechnology. So I've been in the health world since the very beginning while I was still studying. And I work for a high tech company based in Turku.
Okay.
And Peter? Yeah, I'm a designer. I'm mostly freelancing at the moment, but I also decided to take the time off really the whilst being here in Finland to pick up studying again.
Okay.
Still studying design, I'm studying abroad in Melbourne, doing a degree in a master of design futures.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Very good. So getting into the area of jobs and speaking broadly about like international workers who come here to Finland. What would you say are the barriers that they face, or what is the main barrier, in your opinion, that they face when they move here? Megha, if I start with you.
I think it really varies. Of course, if people are moving here when they've had an established career, like they've been working 10, 15 years, I think it's really hard for people to find a break in Finland where they find a job that matches their level and expertise. I was lucky in the sense that I was very young when I moved to Finland. I didn't have prior experience already from my home country. So it was rather straightforward to get into the industry. That being said, I don't think everyone is able to, if they're just young and a student, but a lot of students face problems such as not really knowing enough people, or they start their job hunting or network building too late in the game. So these are a few of the things that we can really talk about today in more detail. So these are just a few of the things that I've noticed over the years.
Okay. Yeah. Peter, what have you seen as the main barrier, say?
I was going to say, I agree. It's a very good point that you make, that it really depends on, I think, the stage of your career and also, yeah, the objectives with which you arrive here, your intention. I think there's no universal truth about this. And I think overall, the job market, like you said in the introduction, is so bad that it's quite hard for most people, unless you are very specialized in a very specialized profession. Then there might, of course, there are better opportunities if that's an industry here in Finland. But yeah, overall, it's, I think, quite challenging. Okay. And if you have a lot of experience, I do think that you need to be prepared then it's required to adapt more, to adjust more, and that's something that you need to be willing to do, of course. Yeah.
Okay. As we have talked about, that there are those barriers there, but one thing that's often left out of the conversation is the effects of these barriers, or the consequences of these barriers to entry have on people. So from your own experiences, or say from your networks or your circles or whatever, what have you seen are the human effects, the human consequences? Peter, if I start with you on this one.
No, I think it can be very bad for people's mental health, of course. If you don't participate in that sense, that can sort of lower your sense of self-worth and of course, also the workplace to an extent. Also in Finland is still a place where you engage with people at a social level too. So it can be quite isolating, I think, if you can't do that. And even if I chose to do something different, I work primarily remote as a freelancer, you still feel some of that effect. So I do think that it's that's something that you really should consider. That's not only making money, but it's a social aspect, of course, to working.
Have you personally experienced that? Have you felt outside?
At times, but I also, it depends on your personality. So yeah, I do experience that, but overall, our situation is quite okay. So if you look at it objectively, and maybe that's the best point I can make. Objectively, we are living quite a good life, but that part that I just mentioned, like the social element of it, that can be quite isolating. At the same time, overall, we did make a few friends, and so in that sense, I don't find it challenging overall socially, but it's just the whole day you spend on your own. Mm-hmm. You feel an outsider a little bit.
I think it is generally accepted work is that kind of gateway to a society. Or Megha, what do you think from your own experience?
Well, I think it's a no-brainer that our self-esteem is tied to our profession to some extent. Mm. The second question that you get is, hi, this is my name, and what is it that you do?
Right.
So I have really seen that when people are in between, you can see the struggle. You can see that they find it difficult to actually say that I'm unemployed or I'm looking for my next thing. And I can see that being something that really affects people in so many ways, because, of course, as human beings, we want to be planning our next vacation. We want to be planning our next year. I think as human beings, we're planners of our lives. And when you don't have a plan, when you don't know where your paycheck is going to come from in 6 months, it puts people in a difficult position, and it hurts their self-esteem, self-worth. It's something that takes a toll on the entire family, because of course it's not just you, your partner, it also affects your partner. So it is really a difficult situation to be in.
It is. And to put you on the spot here, so then what advice do you give to people in that position? What should people do?
Well, I feel like in a position like this, one of the best things that you can do is try to offer help and try to offer motivation. Try to tell them that this is something that they are going to get out of, that something will come, because I do feel like people need to hear it. And maybe they don't hear it enough, that you're doing great. You will find light at the end of the tunnel. And is there anything that I can do for you? So perhaps it's a small introduction to somebody else. Perhaps it's sitting and having a coffee with them. Whatever it is, I think you can treat them like respectable human beings.
Okay. Peter, what do you think?
Yeah, that's the social aspect of it. I think that's a really good point. Might have a slightly controversial take on that. I do think that considering the job market and the way it is, that for, I'm not sure, like, are we talking about Finland in general or migrants, I am, we are. I do think that it's worth considering going elsewhere. I mean, if you are here in that situation that you just illustrated, I think there are other countries within Europe, and if you have that opportunity, which is a privilege, of course, it might be worthwhile looking elsewhere. Like the Netherlands, where I'm from originally, has an unemployment rate of just under 4%, which is, way less than half of Finland's unemployment number. There's lots of jobs there. There are other issues, housing, it's very busy there. Yeah, if that's your situation and you don't know where your next paycheck is coming from, sometimes things just don't work out. And it's for everybody, it's a really tough market. So just consider that too.
Yeah. And surveys have shown that a lot of people do consider that option. They don't really see a future in Finland. But what about you? What do you see as being your future here? Or is there a future here?
For me personally, not. I'm going to be very, very blunt about that.
Why not?
Because of that, I don't think so. You really need to want it. And even I mentioned I'm studying again, and even in that area, I experienced some resistance. So I initially tried to study with Aalto. I was rejected there. Okay, was not good enough. Then I continued studying remotely in Australia. I'm a full fee student. I pay a lot of money for that. And I planned to do something with that degree. And someone told me, I had a really good conversation the other day with someone who actually was a teacher at Aalto. She said, you really need to show that you want it. And sometimes they reject you and you have to just try again. Okay. And I think that is very representative for Finnish culture, Finnish society to an extent, that you really need to show your commitment. You're at the integration part, you need to start learning the language. And that's not Finland, that's me. I turned 50 this year. I'm trying to sort of redirect my career a little bit. I'm not in at that stage of my life. We don't have children as a couple. So that's also... That's something that I hear a lot from people is a very good part of living in Finland. If you have kids, we don't. I won't be able to find a job here probably ever, also because I'm 50 now. So yeah, it would be a bit unfair even to myself and to us as a couple to say, to keep pushing that. And that's also why I said that before. I think the logical thing to do is at some point when the right opportunity arises is to leave. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there a particular point when you decided that you were going to leave or that you were going to give up the job search?
Giving up the job search fairly quickly, not necessarily to leave straight away. So because my partner has a really nice job and she's enjoying that, she's doing really, really well in that. So you have two people to consider. Mm-hmm. And we're also not in a hurry, and that's a privilege. So we're not in that situation. We live a good life for the most part, besides the occasional loneliness that we were talking about. But yeah, pretty quickly after a year of trying, we were like, okay, this is probably better to start looking further and see how we go. picked up studying again. I'm doing that very fast now. I'm doing a fast track.
Okay.
And when that's finished at the end of the year, I probably start looking a little bit more seriously into opportunities abroad again. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I've got a European right of movement, right? I've got a Dutch passport. I've got an Australian passport. It's a huge privilege. We can move to a lot of different places. Yeah.
But I think your experience that you reach a point where you just say, okay, no more, is something that would resonate with a lot of people who might be watching or even listening to this right now. Megha, do you see that? Is there any reason why it kind of works for some people and doesn't work for others? Is there some like secret to staying in Finland or?
I can't say there is a one answer that fits all. And I think all three of us have received questions like, how do I find a job in Finland? Mm-hmm. Right. And an open-ended question like that you see and you're like, I don't know what to tell you because it's not so simple. So for every single person, I think how they get a job or how they enter the Finnish working life is very different. And well, I think it does come down to, are you able to translate that you have the skills, that you are able to demonstrate that you're willing and eager to integrate to Finnish society, whether you have the skills, of course, whether they think that you're a good match, mm-hmm. whether the employer sees that, yes, this person would be a good match. But I completely understand where Peter is coming from, that there is a limit. And I don't think any immigrant should live their life in a way that I think a lot of us have worked very hard to get where we are. And we should live our lives where we feel that we are getting respect. And a lot of that comes from finding a good workplace that fulfills our inner purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. Peter, what do you think? Is there some reason that it works for some people and doesn't work for others?
Yeah, first of all, if you have the right profession, there's clearly still a need for people. You've got a couple of headers there, a couple of agencies working very hard on that, promote Finland as a good destination for professionals still, despite the high unemployment. So clearly there is a skills gap. There are people needed in certain areas. So if you fit in that, I'm sure it's excellent. Eh? There's a couple of really good companies here in Helsinki too, in my area. So the gaming companies, of course, that are doing quite well still. I think in that sense, that's part of it. And I also think what I said before, it depends on your objectives and your intentions when you come here. If you're younger and you go here with the intention of staying and having a family, raising your children here and all of that, and go through that process of added integration process, you learn the language, you have to learn Finnish. I made an attempt to learn Swedish. It's useless. I pretty quickly found out that that's just wasted effort, unless you want to become a citizen, because then you tick a box with that. But in daily life, you might as well just speak English then. That's one of those things. But if you go through that and you commit, I'm sure you can make it work, and you probably will make it work in the end. So yeah, it has to be the right fit from that perspective. If you come with that intention, I think it could. Still, I think just looking at the facts, you really, really need to think hard before you do that. Of course, if you come here for love, then that's your main reason to move. And then you still probably have a choice to live here or elsewhere. But, that's a different motivation. If neither of the partners or you don't have a personal connection to the country, think hard about it, because it's still an 11% or 10-point-something% unemployment right now.
So you mentioned the Finnish language there, and I think it's always heavily attached to this conversation about how much time and effort should somebody who comes here invest in learning the Finnish language. So from your own experiences, Megha, if I come to you first, should somebody learn Finnish?
If you want to stay in the country, then absolutely. Now, it depends on, like, of course, your priorities. Everybody's busy as an adult. You're probably doing full-time studies. Maybe you're working full-time. So it is a lot to handle. And I think that every immigrant is aware of that. But in the long run, it does make a difference. And I think that's a decision that you have to make for yourself, whether you want to take that on early in your journey or later on. Myself, I'm going to be doing that later in my journey. So I've already put in a couple of years of studying Finnish. So I understand something, but I'm not quite there yet to have a conversation. But even having the ability to understand what's being said at a coffee table helps to some extent. And through our social media, we are also telling people who approach us when they ask about Finland that, yes, absolutely, the local language is something that is very important, and especially in Europe, you're not going to be able to bypass that. You might be able to survive, but in the long run, I think it's just something that you need to invest in when you can.
Yeah, survive, but maybe not thrive,
exactly.
I guess. Yeah. Mm. Peter, what do you think?
I'm going to give basically the same answer, but I think you don't need it. If you live in Helsinki, at least, right, or in a bigger city, I'm not sure what it's like outside of the cities. But yeah, you don't need it in daily life. Everybody is fluent in English. And even if they say they're not, then they probably are. Mm. Finnish people tend to be a little bit modest like that. Indeed. It's like, oh, I'm going to hand you over to my colleague. And then they speak perfect English. But anyway. Yeah, I think it's always a good idea to learn the language, the local language, if your intention is to stay. Mm. And I think that's a little bit of a point that I made earlier. I do think that that Finland is not very open at the moment for those different scenarios. Like I came here as a partner of someone who found a good job here, and I tried to participate in a partner program, for example. And it's heavily geared towards female partners, so there's a certain bias in that.
Okay.
Like it's very focused on a traditional family unit and how that works, and also with the immediate assumption that you're planning to stay forever, basically. And I think that is something to consider. I think it's not everybody arrives here with the same intentions, with the same objectives, And I think from Finland's perspective, if you want to attract that talent, because you don't need to speak Finnish when you work for one of those big companies, and I think that was your question. So, in terms of integrating into society, you definitely need to learn Finnish, of course. You're in this country, so. But not everybody comes here with that objective. Some people come here for career purposes. They work with one of those big gaming companies. Everybody speaks English. Everybody in the stores speak English. So you don't need it. And if you're planning to leave again after 3, 4, 5 years, and I do feel, I've said that out loud a few times, that people feel slightly offended when you say it. It's like, but why should we care if you're only here for a few years? And it's like, yeah, I'm just here for that job. And this company needs me as a professional right now. And I find that an interesting one. It's a bit slightly, yeah, conservative, a bit maybe a bit old-fashioned thinking in a way. And that's not good for the economy, I think.
Okay.
It's not very...
Just getting back to the subject of job seekers, a lot of people, I think, have been advised that when they're looking for a job to really put themselves out there, especially on social media, and one social media platform in particular, LinkedIn, is very active, I think, in the foreigner community in Finland, especially among job seekers or people trying to advance their careers. And there can be a whole array of different kind of posts and opinions and things on there. I know, Peter, you have an experience of that particular platform.
Yeah.
What have you learned from using it?
That you, that your reach might be a little bit bigger than you hoped. So it can backfire a little bit. And I think that's, culturally, Finnish people will not speak up directly, but I after a certain post that I made about nation branding, that's kind of what I was referring to earlier as well. I do think that there's a slight dishonesty currently, or discrepancy, it's a bit paradoxical, whatever you want to call it. There's still a big push to get international talent to move to Finland. There's the element of nation branding. There's a certain level of pride, I guess. That doesn't really align with the facts right now. And I have, I have some criticism on that. And I made a post about that, about a particular agency involved in the attraction of foreign talent. And that went slightly viral. And I did receive a couple of DMs from people saying, Finnish people have long memories. So this, you're really shooting yourself in the foot with this one.
And
then I'm in that position, and I think that's the privilege that I was talking about earlier. I made the decision already that I was not going to try to find a job here anymore. I've got a different path for myself, and I'm okay like that. So I don't really care in that sense. But yeah, that's that. You do need to think about what you post. And unfortunately, I do think that you should be able, personally, I think you should be able to say anything about that, right? If, as long as it's respectful. Now, that's subjective. What people, not everybody considers the same thing respectful. Culturally, as a, I guess as a Dutch person, I think there's something to say about that. Like Finnish people, for Finnish people, things they would say, well, it could always be worse. A Dutch person mostly would say, it could always be better. And I think that kind of says it all. And and yeah, so you have to tread a little bit careful with that. Things can be quite sensitive. Yeah.
Okay. How have you?
Well, I agree that social media is something where people are always watching, irrespective of if they might not like it, they might not comment, they might not do anything, but they are watching. And that's always good to keep in mind, that people are watching and irrespective of what you put out there, it has a pretty long lifespan of how long it's going to live.
Or live so, in people's memories, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. But LinkedIn can be a very useful tool for job seekers, and I do recommend to people looking for jobs to keep their LinkedIn profiles active. I feel like it is probably one of the best ways that you can meet people in your industry or outside of your industry and start a conversation with someone who technically does not know you. I recently heard about someone who is like reaching out through LinkedIn and getting faster responses by LinkedIn than by email. So that's the point where we're at, where you can DM someone. LinkedIn, someone, and they get back to you within the same day or week. And that, I think, is great. If you do not really know people in Finland, use LinkedIn to start to get to know who is who.
Okay,
but be careful that of what you say. But at the same time, you can say what you think. Mm-hmm. I agree that you do have the right to say what you think. But of course, people are going to have different takes on it.
Yeah. Well, one criticism I've heard about LinkedIn, especially in this kind of foreigner in Finland perspective, is that controversial takes or complaints get amplified. They're the kind of things that go viral, for example, whereas someone's maybe talking about their skills or doesn't get as much attention.
Yeah.
Have you noticed
that? I'll ask you a question in return. What kind of news goes more in media, positive news or negative news?
Well, rhetorical question, but yeah, fair point. But have you, in terms of someone looking for a job and putting it out there on LinkedIn, it's a paradox, or it must be very frustrating to write something very positive about, or even about themselves, and it gets no traction. But if they complain about something, which is obviously not in their best interest at all, it gets lots of attention.
Yeah.
No, I've noticed
that. Does that happen?
Yeah. But I also think, I agree that it's a useful tool, but I also think it's overstated slightly. Mm-hmm. And I do think also that's something that I've noticed, especially in Finland, is that there are a lot of job coaches. There's a lot of people giving advice on that. And you see a lot of similar posts about people's experiences. Often AI is heavily used with that and it's promoted. There's an industry in that sense from NGOs, agencies working on this issue, on the unemployment integration. They have a stake. They get money for this. Don't forget that. And I do think that it becomes slightly toxic. And as you say, of course, bad news works better. But it's also the whole polarization of that. So what you see is those negative voices are amplified, also from people that are super desperate, and that drags you down. So be very careful of that too. Mm. Realize what you do have and what your own situation is. Don't get dragged. Their experience is real, right? So, but it's not yours necessarily. And then on the other hand, you have this toxic positivity of everything is fantastic, everything is awesome, right? Yeah, it's not, right? It's somewhere in the middle. Yeah. And right now it's maybe somewhere a little bit more to the negative, just going by the numbers. Mm. But yeah, that's, of course, what those platforms thrive on. It's like the confrontation and the extremes, yeah.
And I think one more reason that those posts go more is because I think maybe a lot of people are not going to make their own post, but if they're on a similar journey and then they relate to that, then they're like, I've had the same experience and this is also the same case with me. And so I think a lot of people maybe relate to that and that's why those get traction. But at the same time, I do try to tell students when I'm specifically talking to students in a guest lecture or in a some sort of a meeting that if you take too much of the negativities, same as what you said, it is not very good for you. Yeah. Try to keep somewhat of a positive mindset. If you are going to say that, like, it's very bad, I'm afraid that that also kind of has an effect on the actual outcome as well.
Okay. Yeah. Well, with all of that in mind and all of that frustration and everything, that I'll circle back to say that, so this is the big question of the day then. What does Finland need to do to kind of solve this problem of unemployment, especially unemployment for foreign people? What does Finland need to do, do you think?
Well, I'm going to say that I hope Finland is able to stop losing talent. So, of course, if people are unhappy, if people are not getting the opportunities that they are looking for, they're going to leave. And even on my channel, I've been interviewing people. And I do know of people leaving because they're not able to find a job. And these are people who have gone through the Finnish education system. They have maybe even received scholarships. So to lose that talent when we also live in a country where there's a labor crisis coming in the next 20 years seems like a pretty big loss. So I would hope that that is something that we can address before too much of talent is lost, before the national branding is turned upside down, before it's too late, in simple terms.
Okay, Peter, what should Finland do?
Yeah, I'm not an economist, but I think it all comes down to fixing that first, right? So, and be honest about that. I think just my opinion, but I do think that managing expectations is extremely important, and that's not going well right now.
Do you mean the managing the expectations of people? So Finland managing the expectations of people who move here?
Yeah,
from
be honest about it. Be more honest about it. I do think that the benefits are often highlighted and overstated, and there's not enough attention for the potential downsides, like a very poor job market. And I think that's a real problem. That's a real issue, because the narrative is that it's a fantastic country, that is a great social system, that is free healthcare, free education, all of these things, and that they need people, that they need you as a professional, and then you're here and there are no jobs. And all these other things might also not necessarily be for you straight away, which is all fair enough, but be honest about that. own up to that. And I do think that there is a gap there, and that these agencies involved in it, it's a bigger plan, right? It's nation branding, and it's part of a plan, and it's fine. It goes with a sense of national pride, which is also fine. But then don't be surprised when people are slightly disappointed when they arrive here and when they leave again, right? Because what is your commitment in the end? You come in with an objective, you don't achieve it quick enough, you end up in trouble potentially even, Of course you're going to leave. And I don't think that is strange. And I think it's a little bit strange that people find that
strange.
Yeah. Because it's not. It's logical. And if you just keep telling yourself that everything is fine, then you're lying to yourself. That's not. And I think that's where, that was your question. What can you do? Be more honest about that.
Face those facts.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean you're negative. That doesn't mean you're failing your country, or you can't be proud of your country, of all the good things that are here. But paint a slightly more realistic picture. And speaking from personal experience, we did our research, and Finland was in that sense not extremely high on our list. We still gave it a go because we had an opportunity here. But that's my biggest peeve, really, my pet peeve a little bit, is that don't keep telling me everything is fine when it's not. That's a bit frustrating.
I can add on to that just for a minute, that I agree, and I think like with a couple of expats, I've really tried to make sure that people do their own homework. Like, not only should Finland portray Finland as it is, but people should know what they are signing up for and do their own research. And I think now it is pretty well known, the situation of Finland's unemployment rate being high. I think people are getting the idea. I know a lot of people who've been in touch with us. So, for example, they get in touch because they've received a job offer from Finland and they've messaged us saying, hi, so if I come with my wife, do you think I'm going to get a job? Do you think she's going to get a job? Mm. And we have told them, for example, that yes, it is possible, but at the same time, it might take a minute to get a job in Finland as a trailing spouse. And I actually heard from that person a few months ago, and it did take the wife 2 years to land the job. He had a good job and he had decades of experience, so they were able to make it work. But yeah, it's really important to know what you're signing up for, because, I mean, at the end of the day, if you are going to move countries, you need to be able to do some digging first.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, I'm conscious that the clock is ticking, but I really want to ask my last question. I think the message you got from the last answer was that Finland needs to be more honest. Mm. Finland needs to be more honest about Finland. So what would be the consequence if Finland isn't more honest about Finland? Or how do you see how the future looks in 20 years if things continue the way they're going without some big change to this international workers coming here, not finding the reality is completely different to the expectation? What will happen?
Do you want to go first?
People will leave, but don't be surprised about that. And I'm what you're saying about the honesty. It's a bit more complex than that. I do think that there's the responsibility does lie with the people that have the power, right? So I do think people need to do their own research, but in the end, it's also, there are ethical considerations with this messaging. I do think if you keep saying that you need these people, then you need to accommodate that. That's the responsibility of the country, because you're asking for these people. Then also be welcoming. That doesn't mean that you need to change everything, but that's your ask, right? You want them. For everybody else that just arrives here on their own accord, okay. That. I think that's one thing. But I don't think that you can really change it unless the situation, the economy improves, right? And that's irrespectively of migrants or anything else. I just hope that the economy gets better, that Finland will thrive, and overall the situation will improve. But otherwise, I think it's going to be a task to get these people to move here and to stay.
Okay, final word on this subject.
Okay, so I think the economics needs to improve, like Peter said, and then the system needs to improve. So if we are going to create a system where immigrants are taking the bet of moving to Finland, they are taking a big leap of faith. And if that doesn't work out, then I think that Finland has failed them in a big way. And I hope that is not the case. And Finland in 20 years, if this system continues to be broken, is going to be something that disappoints me and disheartens me. So I do hope that is not the case, because I think that Finland will fall behind other countries, and immigrants, highly educated immigrants, are very smart people, and they do know what is best for them, and they will go to other countries where they feel they are more welcome. So if that talent leaves Finland, I, being an advocate for international talent, that's a future that I hope we don't come to.
A great point to end on. Thank you very much. And thank you both very much for joining me here in the studio today. I'll say a quick thanks to our audio engineering team. That's Panu Willman and Juha Hjelm. And to Matt Schilke and Hannah Anderson for their tech support and their video skills. And one very final thank you to our listening and our viewing audience for watching All Points North on video, or listening wherever you get your podcasts. So the podcast will be back again in 2 weeks in audio format again, and we'll be back on video again next month. Until then, bye for now.